Blog Talk Radio.
For all the earth had trembled, the sun had hid its face, and all the men that walked with him had turned and run away. They crucified our Savior and laid him in a tomb. The life that once brought love and hope slipped away that afternoon. Satan gleamed with pleasure that day at Calvary, for he thought he had won a mighty victory. And like him, all of the demons of hell began to cheer. But little did they know that their end was drawing near. Cause early Sunday morning, just like Jesus said, he broke the curse of sin and death, and he rose up from the dead.
Rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, October the 8th, 2023. Now, I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and I'm blessed to be the woman of God of this assembly, but as always, I'm joined by my wonderful Spirit Alive family in the persons of Minister Tina Brown, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, and then we have our watchman on the wall. We have Brother Lee Larson and Sister Terry Larson. So on behalf of all of us, we want to welcome you to this morning's service, and we pray that you will hear something on today that not only lifts your spirit, but blesses your very soul. So we will now go to opening prayer with Minister Tina Brown. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace this morning, giving you all the honor, the praise, and the glory for giving us another day to come together as a spiritual family to worship you, to learn your messages that you have for us today, Heavenly Father. We thank you for all those that are here listening in today, Heavenly Father, whether they're near or far. We pray that you bless them with this message that Apostle Shirlene Cook is going to give us today, Heavenly Father. We pray that you bless Apostle Shirlene as she delivers the message. May the message touch our hearts and souls and give us the spiritual food we need to get through today and the week, Heavenly Father. We thank you so much for this ministry, everyone in it, Heavenly Father. May we all be blessed with your message today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Look at your neighbor and say, he's alive in me.
Can they tell it?
Hallelujah and glory to God.
Glory.
It is now time for this morning's reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask the very highly esteemed mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come. And she reads to us a reading from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. Now, my brothers and sisters, please retrieve your Bibles, and you might want to get something to write with and to write on, and give your undivided attention to the mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. I love each and every one of you, no matter how near or how far from me you are. And we're praying for Israel without ceasing. Our meditational reading this morning is entitled, You Are God's Beloved. We'll be looking at Ephesians 1, verse 6, which reads, To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now, at the Jordan River, Jesus heard his father say to him, You are my beloved son, and in you I am well pleased. You can read that in Luke 3 and 32. Later in the wilderness, Jesus heard the devil say to him, If you are the son of God, da 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 da. Luke, you can read about that in Luke 4 and 3. Notice that the devil not only questioned Jesus' sonship, but he also dropped the word beloved. When he said to Jesus, You are the son, if you are the son of God, and on and on, you see the devil cannot remind you that you are God's beloved. Because when you know the truth, whatever he wants to bring against you will not succeed. Many girls are giving away their virginity because of the need to feel wanted and loved. Young boys are joining gangs to feel accepted because they have been rejected and made to feel worthless by others. But when you know that you are God's beloved, no temptation can succeed against you, not even the giants who now taunt you. Consider David, who slew Goliath. David in Hebrew means beloved. It takes a David to knock down a giant. In other words, it takes someone who knows that he is God's beloved to win the fights of life. You are God's beloved not because of what you do. Christ did everything. He is God's beloved. But God put you in Christ. That is why you are accepted in the beloved. And what God said to Jesus, he says to you today, you are my beloved sons and daughters, and you I am well pleased. If the devil tells you, hey, you call yourself God's beloved after what you did, have the assurance that is not based on what you have done, but what Christ has done. And you are still God's beloved because you are in Christ. When you say that, I believe the devil screams in frustration because he has no power over you when you are conscious that you are God's beloved. There is truly a place of safety when you know that you are his beloved. My sisters and brothers, we are not being proud when we call ourselves God's beloved. How can we boast when we know that it is God's grace that has made us accepted in the beloved? May the Lord add blessings and favor upon the readers, hearers, and especially doers of his holy and righteous word. The thoughts for today. It takes someone who knows that he is God's beloved to win the fights of life. Amen and glory to God.
Tired of forcing moments, conjuring up emotions, put your name on it. Do we just love the spotlight? Start a whole movement, have a face on it. No, we can't plan revival, shift the atmosphere, or create the fire. Cause that's what you do, yeah, only you do. That's why we need you to lead us again. Holy Spirit, schedule instead of you, put on display our best and brightest. Ironically, the stage is where we hide. That's why we need you, Lord, we need you. God, we can't do what only you do. Holy Spirit, lead us.
The Most High God.
Yes.
It is now an important time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience because it is prayer time. Hallelujah. And prayer is serious business around here. Because, see, when we pray first and foremost according to the Word of God. And then we pray expecting, trusting, and believing that God will do exactly what he says he will do. And we believe that we serve a God that can do all, not some of them, but all things. Thank you, Jesus. And at this time and during this chaotic time in this world right now, this morning, I have asked that our bishop, Bishop Lester Carver, come forth and pray for us and with us today, because I truly believe that when men of God are heard standing and praying, when the men of God, hallelujah, stand and declare the word, I believe that it is powerful. I believe that the people of God are blessed. So at this time, we will have Bishop Carver come forth and pray for us as the Spirit leads him. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence in our life, God. Father, I thank you for your divine plan that you've given us, that you will dwell with us and we will dwell with you. God, I thank you for the great privilege that we have of making that plan come to fruition, God. I thank you for the family of those 600 in Israel who were impacted and killed by actions of others. God, I thank you for their family. God, Father, I thank you for your purposes being fulfilled throughout the earth, God. Father, I thank you for your continued presence at the walls of Jerusalem, God. Father, I thank you for the one who have blessed those nations that bless that nation, God. Father, I thank you for you allowing all of us to minister to the needs of those who have been impacted, God. Father, I thank you for you blessing those in the church around the world and allowing us to minister to one another, God. Allow us to come up to a higher level of understanding as it pertains to ministering to the needs of other Christians. I thank you
Lord,
the desire to get beyond ourselves and to give what we can give to one another. Not to others, but to those that you put immediately within our presence. Father, allow us to have the desire to minister to the needs that we see and not to the needs that we don't see, that we empower others to minister to by simply giving money. Father, allow us to directly impact those that we can touch, that we can see, that we can speak to, that we can meet with. Father, allow us to minister to them and allow our lives to be of the impact that you have in our life, that you can have in the lives of others, so that they can have the hope that what you've done for us, you can do for them also. Yes. God, I thank you for empowering them to receive your deliverance, to receive your encouragement, to receive your healing, to receive your restoration.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
For the wholeness that you have available for us. I thank you for you having sent your son, Jesus Christ, so that we could live a more than abundant life and then invite others to live that more than abundant life, so that they could be whole spiritually, they could be whole mentally, they could be whole emotionally, they could be whole physically.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, I thank you for you getting all of the glory from that, because you are able to receive. Father, I thank you for your, not just your ability, but your willingness to restore and your desire to see us made whole in spite of the attacks against our lives and the lives of those that you called before the foundations of the earth to be your children, to dwell with you in eternity, but to dwell with you now by operating in the fullness of the unlimited power of your Holy Spirit, God. Allow us to embrace those things that are spiritual and to be spiritual as we embrace those things, so that we could surpass the limitations of those things that are carnal, God. Allow us to be real in what we do for you, so that we could produce fruit and we could live a fruitful Christian life and not just the life of talk, God. Father, I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Go into the world and preach the gospel.
The kingdom of God is here and it's real. Go, go, go spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. That the kingdom of God is here and it's for you and I is for the willing heart, yeah. All you need is believing in me. All you need is to receive and give him your heart today. Shout it on the mountain top. Shout it on the rooftop. Shout it everywhere.
Hallelujah and glory to God. It is now time for this morning's message. But before I begin, I'd like to first give honor to God, who is the head of my life. And to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I'd like to give honor to the wonderful servant leaders here at Spirit Alive and to true servant leaders all over the world and to all of you God's elect. Peace and blessings be upon you and your household. Now, today's message will be coming from Acts. Yes, we're continuing on our transformational journey, saints. Please turn to the book of Acts. We're going to look at chapter 25, and we will be covering verses 1 through 27. Acts chapter 25, and we will begin at verse 1. Let me have a word of prayer, and we will begin. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come before your throne of grace right now in the name of Jesus, asking you to search me, O God. And if I've done anything, Lord God, I repent. I repent, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And allow your, I just pray that you allow your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to stand up in me and deliver what you would have me to say. Let me decrease, Lord, so that you can increase and have all the glory, because you said if you be lifted up, that you will draw all men unto yourself. And Lord God, I'm praying right now for those souls that are broken, those souls that are searching, those souls, Lord God, that don't know you in the pardon of their sin, all over the world. I pray that they will hear something today that will bless them and cause them to turn to you in all that they do. I pray this and all other things in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now, folks, my message today is entitled, A Dead Man Named Jesus. Now, I know a lot of you are looking at your phones and your computers talking about an apostle. What are you talking about? You've been playing music all morning, telling us that Jesus is alive. He's alive in us. Hallelujah. But now your message is entitled, A Dead Man Named Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you to walk with me on this one. And I'm going to be real with you this morning, as I always am. You know, we spend a lot of time here at Spirit Alive telling you that Jesus is alive and that he is alive in you. Yet so many that profess to be Christians still live like Jesus is a dead man. And I know this will be somewhat of a different sermon because it's going to be more topical than my usual precept sermons are. In other words, the topic comes from the text, but not necessarily the main point. But anyway, I'd like to go ahead and read the narrative account that Dr. Luke gives us in Acts 25, and then we will focus on verse 19 as the basis for the message today. And trust me, this is going to be short and sweet and to the point. But in Acts 25, starting at verse 1, we read, Now when Festus was coming to the province, after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thither or there. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down into Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood around about and made many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, or neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender and have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred in the council with the council, answered, Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him, to whom I've answered, It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die, but for that which he is accused, have the accusers face to face, and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay, on the morrow I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusations of such things as I suppose, but had certain questions against them of their own superstition, and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted in such manner, praise Jesus. Satan, I know you, man. Excuse me, y'all. Let me go back. I rolled up my scripture too fast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because I doubted in such manner of question, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul appealed to be reserved into the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains, the principal men of the city, as Festus is the man, Paul was brought forth. Hear me. I have to read this. This is so good. And Festus said, King Agrippa and all the men which are here present with us, ye see this man, about whom all the multitudes of the Jews have dealt with, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I am determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord, wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have someone to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crime laid against him.
Glory to God.
My Lord, my God. Hear me this morning, people. In verse 19, Festus tells King Agrippa, they have some points of dispute with him about their own religion and about a dead man named Jesus who Paul claimed was alive. And this is the main point of my message today. We teach you that Jesus is alive, but you still live like he's dead. So maybe if I talk to you about him being dead, some more of you will live like he's alive. Praise Jesus and let the church say amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
And I say that because knowing that Jesus must become more than a dead man in the way that we live and in the way that we present him to others. Now, some of you may ask, like I said, some of you may be asking yourself, where's Apostle going with this? What does she mean by saying that we must allow Jesus to be more than a dead man? Oh, these are all very good questions. And it is exactly why I'd like for us to look at three principles that will help us all to allow Christ to live in us and through us.
Yes.
Now, the first thing that we always must keep before us is this. Many people view Jesus and Christianity as dead or irrelevant. You see, some people have had bad experiences with the church or with Christians or some religious organization, and unfortunately, that can color their perception of who Jesus is. They say, after all, if that is what Jesus is like, then who needs him? Or after seeing how some so-called Christians live, they conclude that the whole thing must be a fraud and that only the weak-minded are taken in by that. There are other people who may not have had bad experiences with Christians or churches, but they just don't see how God has anything to do with their everyday lives.
Yeah.
And this is always troubling because I want the people to know the Jesus that I know. I want you to know the Jesus that I love. I want you to know the Jesus that I serve. I don't want you to miss out on your relationship with the Creator through your faith in Christ Jesus. I don't want you to miss out on forgiveness, on salvation, or eternal life. But for many people, Jesus is just a dead man who religious people still like to talk about. Some people are just waiting to see a Christian whose life really demonstrates the claims of their faith. If God is a loving God, can they see that love in us? If God is patient, how are we doing in that area? If our Father God cares, do we? You know, unfortunately, sometimes the churches place so much emphasis on believing the proper doctrine that they have not properly examined their lives to see if it is being lived out. Hallelujah. What makes something relevant? Well, I believe that something is relevant when it helps meet a need. Something is relevant when you cannot live without it. Something might be relevant if it helps you to improve as an individual. I know I want it to help me to improve as an individual, as a daughter, as a sister, as a servant leader, or any other relationship I might be having. The bottom line is if the church cannot demonstrate how somebody that died 2,000 years ago can make a profound difference in the lives of his people, then we will be painting a picture of a dead man named Jesus. Now I realize that many will reject Jesus, even when he is shown to be real and relevant, just like Festus did. Now, Festus was a pretty good ruler. He was one of the better ones. But even after encountering the relevant Christ in the life of Paul, he still viewed Jesus as a dead man and a dead issue in his own life. But let me tell you something, Saints. Even though some will reject Jesus by never making room for him, there are also even more who will receive him, and they will experience that awesome life change. You see, that's the power of the good news about Jesus. See, lives are changed. Hallelujah. Hope is restored. Oh, glory. Joy is restored. Thank you, Jesus. There is a release of peace, and we have something to live for, which leads me to point number two. Many people have encountered the risen Christ. Now, we've already covered much of Paul's life in our study of the book of Acts. We know that Paul had a powerful encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. But up until this point, Paul had viewed Christ as a dead man named Jesus. However, when Jesus started talking to him, oh, hallelujah, and Paul was blinded by the power of his presence. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened. If you don't know what happened, let me tell you. Let me tell you. I can't wait. Paul's life was dramatically changed. Oh, hallelujah. He had a transformation. He had a heart change. He had a mind change. Hallelujah. He got an attitude adjustment. See, what he did was he stopped persecuting the followers of Jesus and became one himself. Jesus became so relevant in Paul's life that every decision he made involved hearing from the Lord and doing what God wants. You see, Paul devoted the rest of his life to sharing the good news about Jesus. Now, many people within the sound of my voice right now have encountered our risen Lord and Savior. And to you and to me, Jesus is much more than a story. He is more than somebody who died over 1,900 years ago. He is more to us than a dead man named Jesus who some claim to still be alive. You see, if you have encountered the risen Christ, then you know what I'm talking about. You know your sin is gone. Your guilt is gone. Your shame is gone. You have a reason to go on. You see, the fears are turning into victories. You've traded your despair for joy and hope. You are able to care more for others than you do yourself. You see, your desires are changing. Your habits are changing. Oh, hallelujah. And for the first time in your life, you have just realized that you are living the life that you've always wanted. And my advice to you is this. Don't you quit. Don't stop.
Be sure that
you stay up close and personal with Jesus. And I'm not talking about on a regular basis. I'm talking about every day. You see, one shot is not enough. Once a week is not enough. Whatever you do or whatever you have to do, you better begin to spend some time with the Lord. You better talk to him, pray to him, worship him, cry out to him, pour your heart out to him. We have to stay connected to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We cannot let our relationship with Jesus become past tense. Hallelujah. We have to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to upgrade us, to upload us, so our relationship will stay updated. We need to stay current in our love for the Lord. And if we do this, oh, hallelujah, we will keep growing. And we will be prepared to do the work that God has for us. Which leads us to the final point. I told you I wasn't going to be long because the scripture was wrong. All I want to do now is talk about the work God has for us. Let me explain something to you. Point number three, it is the mission of every believer to show that Jesus is alive.
Yes.
Now, if you've ever seen the show Mission Impossible, you might remember how the mission was presented to the secret agent. See, it was usually a tape or some such thing that would self-destruct in so many seconds. And the tape said, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is as follows. Then it would briefly explain the details, and then the tape would go up in smoke, and the agent would go off to save the world. Well, we have been given a mission. But the interesting thing is that God gives us the freedom to choose whether or not we will accept the mission. He wants us to. He wants us to, but he's not going to force us to. You see, our greatest mission is to know God and to glorify God.
Yes. However, as we get to know him, as we begin to listen to him, as we begin to read his word and ask for revelation from the power, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we
yes.
begin to know what is important to God. That's why he gives us the mission to tell the good news about Jesus to everyone that we can. You see, God loves people, all people, and he wants them to receive the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of eternal life. And our mission is to show people that Jesus is alive and he is really who the Bible claims he is. And why? Because he is Jesus, the Logos, the living word of God.
Yes.
Now, what happens
That's
if we don't accept that mission? Well, rather than me talking about a whole bunch of grave consequences, let me just say that to refuse the mission that God has given us would be totally inconsistent with whom we claim to be. You see, if I say I am
yeah.
a Christ follower, that means I follow Christ, and I do what he wants me to do. And he wants me to carry out the mission that he has set before me. And that is letting people know that he is alive and he is real in my life. Now, how do we do that? We show that Jesus is alive through a lifestyle of following after him and doing the things that he did. You see, we have to live in such a way that Jesus is very visible in our lives. When people look at us, they need to be able to see Jesus' DNA all over us. They need to be able to say, ha, that's
yes.
a child of God right there.
Glory to God.
You see, we
yes,
want people
sir.
To know that Jesus is alive, and he's alive in us, and he makes a wonderful difference in your life. The Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I
mm-hmm.
live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is Galatians 2:20. He also
yeah.
said, for to me to live in Christ, or for me to live for Christ to live in me and through me. Now, I always keep it real, because you can never change what you don't acknowledge, and you can't stay on top of what you don't acknowledge. So I'm going to keep it real and be transparent with you. There have been some times that I didn't let Christ live in me or through me the way I should have. You see, sometimes I was too busy letting Charlene live. I'm keeping it real. I was more concerned about getting my way than Christ having his way in me.
Yeah.
But thanks to God, I had
Tell
to grow
it,
up real fast, and I had
right.
to grow up a lot, because I didn't like being like that. I knew better. My mama had me preparing Bible study lessons at the age of 9. I knew better.
Yeah.
And with all that studying from a young age, there was still time when I just fell short. And let me explain something else to you. If I don't die to self daily, if I don't pick up my cross and follow Jesus, it can happen
yes.
again. You heard what
yes.
it said?
Glory to God. Yes, it can.
Now, maybe you have found yourself in that same boat.
Yes.
And it's sometimes it's just hard to do what Jesus would do, because, you know, to keep it really real, we want to do what we really want to do. But now let's
yeah.
try something. Now, I want all of us to try this collectively as a family. This is a family edict, okay? The next time we start to get upset, what I want us to do is take a few moments before we take matters into our own hands, and I want us to ask ourselves, is this Jesus responding, or is this just me?
Yeah.
Am
yeah.
I about to respond from the word according to the Holy Spirit? Or am I going to respond from my feelings? Okay? You see, you got to understand something.
Yes.
Even before you have a chance to say something, your thoughts about another person can pave the way for your words. So we need to stop and ask ourselves, is this Jesus thinking these thoughts about this person? Or is this my stinking thinking? Is Jesus the one about to formulate these unkind words? Or is it me? Then you got to really keep it real and say, it's me and not them. So then we need to whisper a prayer and just ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, help me to show that you are alive and not me. Please, Lord. See, most of the time when I go to the Lord, I don't go to the Lord until I fix this person or fix that person. I go to the Lord and say, fix me. I'm the one with the problem. What they're doing is bothering me. Fix me. Tell me what I'm doing wrong.
Teach, girl.
You know, remember Paul? Paul said he died daily. Now, did he mean physically? No. He died to himself and his own desires. What Paul was saying and what I like to say, if I stay dead to the flesh, it will be a lot easier to show that Jesus is alive. If my selfishness and my pride and my deceitful heart will stay dead, then people will be able to see that Jesus is alive in me. You see, I understand. We that love the Lord understand that even there are Christians that believe that Jesus is no more than a dead man. But what I praise God for, hallelujah, what I glorify God for, what I lift God up for and in gratitude for is that the servants here, let me tell you something, we're going to tell you Jesus is alive. And Jesus
is
alive in me.
Yes.
And let me explain something else. We ain't telling you we're perfect, but what we are telling you, that when we fall short, we run straight to God. Lead us again, Father God. Help
Glory
us to do
to
better, God.
God.
Take us to another level, God.
Help me.
Let us know how we can fix this, God, so that we never do this again, oh,
Amen.
God, because we know we got a job
Amen.
To do. We got to go out there and tell everybody about Jesus.
Sir.
We got to tell everybody that Jesus lives, and he's alive. So that means, Father God, I'm going to walk like Jesus. I'm going to talk like Jesus.
Talk
I'm going to love like Jesus. I'm going to serve like Jesus. I'm going to speak the word like Jesus. I'm going to pray like Jesus. I'm going to serve like Jesus. Can't tell me nothing. When you see me, all you going to see it. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And more Jesus.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Because he's alive.
He's alive.
Jesus is more than a dead man. He's a risen Savior. And he died for me.
Yeah.
And you. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and
yes,
as we close, I have a question for some of you. Saved and unsaved. Is Jesus truly living in you? I want the unsaved to begin to think about it right now. Don't you want Jesus to live in you? Jesus should be more than a dead man, simply named Jesus. And like I said, I know many people, many people. You know, those happy Christians, it is so dead. That is so yesterday. It is so irrelevant. I excuse you. My Father God said, I am the same yesterday,
today,
and forever.
Yes. Yes.
So whatever was relevant for Moses, it's relevant for us. Whatever was relevant for Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, Abraham, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Peter is relevant to us. Okay. We have to know by staying connected to the Most High.
Yes.
We have to let that light be empowered and generated by the Holy Spirit.
And
the way we know that's happening is that our lives will change.
Yes, it will.
And as our lives change, we will know our mission. We will know exactly what God wants us to do.
Yes.
I want you know, what picture this Jesus paint in your life. When people look at you, can they see that Jesus is alive and well again, or is he just that dead man named Jesus? I would encourage you to talk to him today and ask him how you can allow him to live through you.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are saved, hallelujah, I'm talking to you too. Because none of us have arrived. We all are a work in process. God says that he has began a good work in us that he will perfect until his son returns. Therefore, we need to be saying, Lord, how can I show people that you're alive in me even more? Lord, give me the strength. Hallelujah. When times are hard and times are confusing and times are chaotic, to stand on your word and stand on your promises. Instead of complaining, Father God, as if you're dead, I'm going to pray. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to sing songs and hymns. Hallelujah. I'm going to get it stirred up. I'm going to stir up the gift. Because, see, if there was ever a time that you needed your people to show that your son is alive, it is right now.
Amen.
So do you serve a risen Savior, or do you simply know a dead man name Jesus? Cool, thank you, Lord. Amen, and to God be the glory. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Right now, thank you, God. If you are unsaved, if you are going through, in a few moments, I am going to have Apostle Flowers come forth and take her time and have a word with you. Because with everything going on, the natural disasters, the war in Israel, the wars all over the world, hallelujah, if there was ever a time to cling and hold on to Jesus' unchanging hand, it would be now.
Right.
And I want you to sit there and think about your life now.
Yeah.
And then I want you to be, I'm going to give you some common sense. Think about your life now. And then think about what you have to lose. Nothing. So before Apostle Zeta comes, I'm going to ask the woman of God, our prophetic intercessor, I'm going to ask her to come, Pastor Vanessa Carver. And when, you know, people say, what do you mean when you say prophetic intercessor? What I'm saying is, Sister Girl is a prophet. And she's also a pastor. And she's also an intercessor.
Yeah.
So when she prays, thanks to God, she's not going to pray them nice little cute flowery prayers that you just want to say, hallelujah, amen. No, she's going to pray according to the Holy Spirit, and she's going to pray what is needed. Because, see, we're not just taking care of our house. We're trying to take care of God's kingdom.
Yeah. Glory to God.
We're
trying
to reach the unsaved all over the world. We're going to shout it from the rooftop.
Yeah.
Jesus lives.
Yeah.
We're going to shout it from the mountaintop. Jesus lives.
Mm.
So at this time, I'm going to ask Pastor Vanessa to come, and I'm going to ask my dear sister to just pray according to the Holy, how the Holy Spirit leads her, as she always does, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm here. Thank you, Apostle. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Apostle Cook. I just thank you for that message and the call. And I'm going to pray right now that we just take heed, meditate on this word, that it'll be fruitful, that it also will be something that we can practically apply in our life, because we know the strength and power of the word is alive and active. So, Father God, I thank you right now for the word. I thank you for the vessel that delivered the word. I thank you, Lord, today for Paul's example and how he wrote about it and how it is for our learning and for to bring us power and might and to equip us to understand the defense that he had to make for us to believe and walk in this word, to understand that the mission that was done on that day, when Jesus died for our sins because of God's eternal plan and purpose for our lives.
Yes.
I thank you, Father God, that you gain, that we gain understanding how that's not just a byword. It's not just something that we do on Sundays, but it is really about the submission in our lives, how we live our life,
yes,
how we decide to grow and agree with the word. And I thank you, Lord, today for this word, which I am actually going to go back and study as well some more to really understand the passion that came from you that we live this way. This word, may this word be sealed so that we can just understand this wasn't just a sermon. This is truly an internal message, Father God, that speaks to us each individually in a different way. And I thank you, Lord, today that whatever you're saying to each of us individually, that collectively we bring it to the body, we receive it with
yes,
meekness, Father God, so we'll be able to
yes,
produce
amen,
much fruit. In the name of
yes,
Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Vanessa. That was that was one of the fervoral prayers. I got Holy Ghost goosebumps. Praise him. But I also got Holy Ghost goosebumps because I know somebody's about to come to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody is about to lay down their life and pick
thank
up their
you,
cross and follow
yes,
Jesus.
Follow him.
Somebody's
yes,
coming back home to the body of
okay,
Christ right now. They sitting
yes,
in their living room. Tears running down their face.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Saying, why,
yes,
Lord? Why? Uh-oh. Why? The Lord said, get up. You got me. You got me. Hallelujah. And they're coming right on back home because they know they need the strength of the body of Christ. They know they need
yeah,
the power of prayer. They know, hallelujah, they
yeah,
need the encouragement of the body of Christ. They know they need a word from the Lord.
Yes. Yeah.
And they want to know that word in a way that they can apply it to their daily lives. Let us meet everyone where they are. We have
yeah,
a lot of new converts all over the world. Let us meet them and teach them and bring them up in the ways that they should go so that Jesus Christ will be glorified.
Yes.
So right now I'm going to turn the service over to Apostle Zeta Flowers. Hallelujah. I pray. You know what? I just love doing things according to the Spirit because everything always works out. Hallelujah. We always have plenty of time
yes,
to do everything. Thank you, Jesus, for your
yes,
your
Lord,
order of service. So, Apostle Zeta, come on in the room and take your time, and you just let them speak your heart to those that are going through this morning, please, ma'am. Thank you.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Apostle Shirlene Cook. The message was great. The message was for those that have not yet accepted the Lord as well as those of us that have. Praise God. Every message comes out that way. All right. Well, we just praise God for that message that has gone forth, and I know you heard it. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the word is close. The word is even in your mouth and in thy heart according to the scriptures. Praise God, and I'm going to lead you in that soon. But I just wanted to say, and we heard it already, that Jesus died for us. He died for us all. He didn't leave anybody out. He lives. He rose for us. He lives for us today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And his spirit, hallelujah. He's not here in the body, the flesh, because he sits at the right hand of the Father, but his spirit is here. His spirit is alive, hallelujah, and his spirit is in us.
Sir.
Praise God, and I thank you for that today. He is alive forevermore, praise God. He's not a false God. He's real. He's real,
yes,
and
he is
alive, praise God.
Amen.
We serve a
amen,
risen Savior, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We serve
a
heart changer. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
One that cares, one that loves you enough to die for us. Hallelujah. Thank
yeah,
you, Jesus. But
yeah,
our,
Jesus,
our Savior didn't stay dead. Hallelujah. He rose according to the scriptures on the third day. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read a couple of passages, and then those that are ready for a heart change, those that are ready to accept Jesus Christ, hallelujah, on this day, we will lead you in a prayer, hallelujah, that will help you, praise God, and that you will help you and guide you in accepting him as your personal Savior. Praise mm-hmm. God. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 8, starting with verse 8 says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee," meaning the word is close to you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's how we believe, by faith. God has given everyone a measure of faith. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise God. So that is how we believe in one that we have not seen, by faith. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in your heart that God has raised him, Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart men believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise
yes.
God. And that's Ooh. For anybody, everybody. Praise God. Yes. The 11th verse lets us know that. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be yes. ashamed. Praise God. Yes. Whosoever means anyone, means anybody, yes. everybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all call upon him. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh, that's good.
That whosoever shall Thank call you. Upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Again.
Hallelujah. Whosoever shall call upon yes. the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the
yes.
word of God. And we know that his word is truth. Praise God.
Yes.
Now I'm going to go to over to 1 John. Praise God. And let's see, that's the first chapter of the first John. And the 5th verse says, this then is the message which we have heard of him, declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not.
Yeah.
But if we walk in the light, hallelujah, and Jesus is the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise God.
Yeah.
And that's why he came for us, to cleanse us from all sin. No matter what that
yeah.
sin is or was, he died to cleanse us from it. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that we could live a righteous life before him.
Yeah.
Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
Yeah.
And the truth is in us. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and
Glory
to cleanse us all unrighteousness.
Yes.
So we need to confess our sins and not
yes.
try to fool ourselves or deceive ourselves
mm-hmm.
in any way, but to confess mm-hmm. that we are a sinner. Yes. Hallelujah. We have sinned, but God, hallelujah, will cleanse us from all sin and all unrighteousness. That's the
yeah.
blessing, hallelujah. Thank God, hallelujah. And he will do all of that for us, hallelujah, just by
yeah.
our confession, hallelujah. And knowing in our hearts that Jesus is the Son of God, hallelujah. Thank
yes,
you, Jesus.
Yes. Thank you.
He is the Son of God.
Thank
you. We confess that in our hearts and know that God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah.
Yes.
The scriptures, we can be saved. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now, are you ready? Mm-hmm. Allow today to be your appointed time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus has been calling, beckoning. Hallelujah. Now it's your time to call on the name of the Lord.
Come on, Jesus.
You can hear him. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Living within you.
I'm
Hallelujah.
Sure.
Helping you to be all sure. that he has called you to be. Hallelujah. And it can happen right now. Praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm going to lead you into a word of prayer. And you can repeat this prayer, accept this prayer into your heart. Hallelujah. And you shall be saved.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Father God, I come to you admitting that I am a sinner, needing a Savior. And I know because I have heard, and I know by faith that you died so that I could live eternally
yes.
with you. So I am confessing that I am a sinner, but I'm desiring to be saved.
Yes.
I am accepting you this day to be my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, hallelujah, and save me and deliver
yes.
me from all of my sins so that I can
yes,
live a
yes,
righteous
yes,
life.
Yes.
In
yes.
Jesus' name,
yes.
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now,
Amen.
Pray the simple prayer. That means that you have accepted your Lord and Savior today. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to pray a prayer for you. Father God, I pray that you would touch these ones, hallelujah, that have accepted you on this day. Praise God, that you would help them, that you would place them, hallelujah, with a true God-believing believer, hallelujah, to lead them, hallelujah, in the word of God and help them and disciple them in Jesus' name so that they can be a servant unto you, so that they can live a righteous life, so that
yes.
they can have everything that you have promised
well,
everyone,
yes,
hallelujah,
Lord.
Will accept you
yes.
and be yours. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Thank
Amen.
You. Amen.
Amen
and amen.
Amen.
Now listen, Pastor God, if you are sitting in the sanctuary and you would like to have a word, I'm going to give you a moment to compose yourself as we listen to once again to the man of God. We praise God for Bishop Lester Carver because he really does love the Lord. He has a heart after God's own, and he has no problem
yes.
speaking to his brothers about things concerning men. And if you don't believe me, you need to tune in to Every Man Standing in His Place every first and third Fridays of the month at 9 p.m. And, honey, you will hear a word to the brothers. But right now, we're going to get that Reader's Digest version, and we're going to ask our bishop to come on back in the house so he can give a word to the brothers that blesses us all. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So this will be the advertisement for every man standing
Whoa,
in his place.
I'm blowing your trumpet. Hush up.
Well, listen, the word for the men today has to do with who you are in Christ and that God has called you to be his man. And what I mean by that is that we are to serve God and not men. You'll hear me say repeatedly that it is our job to serve God, to please God, to trust God, to obey God. But what I'm focused on right now is us pleasing God instead of pleasing people. When we attempt to please people, we place ourselves in a level of bondage that God does not desire us to live in. God desires us to be free, to serve him, to be used by him as he would choose to use us. And that's why we see this in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, where Peter says, it says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And this
mm-hmm.
is the truth. But you don't know what God is asking you to do if you don't study God's word. You don't know what God is asking you to do if you're not praying to God. You don't know what God is asking you to do if you don't pray in the Holy Spirit in fellowship with like-minded believers. So God is asking you, hey, you know, fast, study your word, fellowship with like-minded believers, pray to me in the Spirit, pray to me with your understanding so that you can know what I'm asking you to do. And so now I want to look at what Jesus Christ says in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15. He says, if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus Christ tells you, I will do it. So we have the authority to ask God for anything in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Then in verse 21, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, do you not want to see Jesus Christ manifest himself in your life? Do his commandments. Love him, and you'll be loved of his Father. And then Jesus Christ will manifest himself to you in your life. See, the authority that you walk in is going to have confirmation when you begin to do what God is asking you to do. But you got to seek it out in his word, because God magnified his word above his name. So I'm going to end with this last passage here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. It says, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth in him, verily is the love of God perfected. See, it's a process. The love of God is perfected as you keep his word. And you know that when you stumble, God gives us new grace and new mercy every day so that we can receive that mercy, ask for forgiveness, get back up, and get back to work without wasting time. And it says, hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. So we are just going to thank God for the wonderful privilege that we have of being God's men and being free to serve God freely, intentionally, and to understand that when we don't, we are signing up to attempt to please people, which is a fool's errand, because you will never do that.
Amen. That's right.
That's why we seek to serve.
You know it.
This is the word for the man today. Thank you, Apostle Cook.
You, God bless you, Brother Bishop. I love you. God bless you. That was phenomenal as usual. Like I said, he has a word for the brothers that blesses everybody, because, see, the word of God applies to everybody. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But I like the way he directs it toward the brothers. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if there's anyone in the sanctuary that would like to have a word, say good morning. Hallelujah. Just say glory to God. If you press your 1, I will address you by your area code or your name. Hallelujah. And the last 4 digits of your phone number or your name. Glory to God. If anybody would like to have a word, you are now welcome to speak up. But in the meantime and in between time, I just want to say I'm so glad that my Aunt Nita and my Aunt Linda's in the house this morning. God bless you, ladies. God bless you. And God bless all of, I want to say a special good morning to all my friends back at Waterford Retirement Center. Hallelujah. God bless you. And Livermore, California, I want to say good morning to all of you. Hallelujah. We're glad that some of you were in here this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
And thank you, God, beloved. Hallelujah. Mother Mitchell did a beautiful reading and said, you are beloved of God.
Yeah.
Today, my brothers and sisters, we must take our rightful places. We must allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us,
You see, saints, the time for performing, the time for playing with God's power has been over.
Yes.
Now is the time for us that truly love the Lord to be about his business. And our business is to reach the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray today that when people listen to this service and rebroadcast, they can hear the love the way I hear the love. They hear the unity the way I hear the unity.
Thank you.
They hear Jesus the way I hear Jesus. And I pray that they will hear something that will encourage their hearts, that will keep them going in these treacherous times.
Yeah.
I pray that some boy, some girl who is being exploited will look there, will raise their head and look to the hills and cry out to the Lord God.
Yes. Their help comes from the Lord.
I pray in the name of Jesus that every servant leader, would remember who they serve.
You don't serve
people. You don't serve mammon. You weren't called by people. You weren't called by mammon. You were called by God. And our job is not to be the tenor in the choir. It is not to be an actor. We are shepherds. We are supposed to be teaching the word of God in a way that people can get it and they can apply it and they will learn that they are walking in victory already. Not that they're fighting for the victory, but they're fighting from a place of victory. And then they will go out and tell somebody about the mighty God they serve. I pray the chains will fall off, that yokes will be broken, that strongholds will be brought down, that revelations will be made, so that miracles, signs, and wonders will follow. Because there is nothing more precious, there is nothing more powerful than a praise of gratitude. Hallelujah.
Yes. That's right.
Our hearts leap for joy when we can look back and see that God brought us over.
Oh,
and saints, I want that for everybody.
Oh, many times.
I want that for the murderer. I want it for the pimp. I want it for the prostitute.
Yes,
I want it for the inmate. I want it for, I just want it for the drug dealers. And I want it for every single human being. I beseech you.
Yes, ma'am.
Try Jesus. Try love. And your life will never be the same. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. I praise your holy name, God.
Yeah.
For the privilege to serve.
You're a good God.
To serve.
You're a good God. You're a glory. You love it.
Hallelujah. So thank you, Jesus. We praise your holy name, God. I want to thank each and every person that was in the house this morning. You are faithful. I don't miss it. God doesn't miss it. Hallelujah. You could be easily be somewhere else, but you're sitting in the sanctuary this morning. You're sitting in the chat room. You're listening via your computers. So we praise God for each and every one of you.
Thank
you, Lord. We pray that you will continue. I'm going to blow a whole bunch of trumpets because I want everybody to listen to everybody. Hallelujah. I'm a love. Trumpet blowing time. All right. We want you to continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network. On tomorrow, we have that anointed pastor and Bishop Carver coming to you with God's great love for us. And I love them. And if you just ever listen to their program and you see how the Holy Spirit just goes back and forth between the two of them, it gets you really excited. You get stirred up about God's word, and you will want to go deeper. You know, my nickname for Bishop Lester, when he not listening, is the professor. Okay. But anyway, on Tuesday, our dear Bishop Lester Carver will be take to the airwaves with his Tuesday night teaching, praise the Lord, hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, look, I'm going to tell you right now, get you some paper. I mean, get a notebook, child. Get a notebook, all right? Get a notebook. And get some good Bible. Because you're going to need it, okay? Because this man goes precept upon precept. He makes sure you get it.
So
and
good.
He's very straightforward. So you will enjoy his teaching. And then on Thursday, we have our pastor, Vanessa Carter. Thank you, Jesus. And she, you know what, this woman of God, talking about doing what God wants you to do. You know what I love about this ministry is you tackle the tough issues we have from the beginning. So right now, we have Pastor Vanessa talking to us about mental illness and mental wellness. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And that's very much
good.
Needed in the body of Christ. We will never grow in our compassion. We will never grow in our wisdom, knowledge, and understanding if we never talk about an issue.
Yeah.
When there is an issue.
So true.
You see, I believe that silence is a deadly killer. And servant leaders, if you don't know about something, educate yourself. They have classes. Educate yourself. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Not just about mental health and mental wellness, but educate yourself about everything that your flock goes through. You know, what do you say to that child that was molested by their father? What do you say to that woman that's beaten up by that man? What do you say? Prepare yourself. Teach yourself. Study to show thyself the truth. Don't sit in the pulpit too excited about the hard stuff. So I praise God for Pastor Vanessa because she's doing it thoroughly. She's educating us. Hallelujah. She's making us think, and she's putting it out there in a way that we can receive it. Pastor Vanessa never comes with people in an accusatory way. She never comes with people in a superior way. She never comes at people in a judgmental way. She always comes with much love and with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So if you're not doing anything Thursday, I highly recommend, highly recommend you tune in to Pastor Vanessa on Thursday evening at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time because you will get an education. And one, if you tune in on Thursday, please go back and listen to the other four parts because they are all phenomenal. And there's a lot of educational things in there. And you need to get some notes, a notebook for that too, and your Bible, because this young lady also goes precept upon precept. So, I am an apostle that loves the servant leaders that God has sent here. I exalt them. I lift them up. I love the way Jesus does his thing through all of them. Hallelujah. And I don't mind telling you about it. Matter of fact, I don't mind telling you about it often. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. But anyway, thanks to God. I have truly enjoyed this worship service. I have enjoyed every prayer. I have enjoyed the reading. I have enjoyed just being in your presence and feeling the presence of God moving as much as heart to heart and breath to breath. I don't know why everybody wouldn't want to feel this good when they leave a worship service, because I sure enjoy it. But if there be nothing else, hallelujah.
They're missing out.
I'm telling you. God, Jesus is not dead.
Keep it
Jesus
fighting them. They'll come.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. So we just gonna keep on inviting. We just gonna keep on loving you. We gonna keep on inviting
yes.
you. And for all of you that's in the sanctuary, we love you to life. And even though you don't always
yes.
talk, we just want to thank you for being the watchman on the wall, because we know it's the
yes.
prayers of the righteous, hallelujah, that keep things straight,
yes.
hallelujah.
Yes.
So we want to praise God. You're just as important to us as anybody that speaks, because we're one body in Christ, hallelujah,
yes.
one body in Christ.
Yes.
All right,
thanks
to God.
You.
Let me let you go, because
yes.
you might have a football game to watch. But anyway, now... May the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. I pray, hallelujah, that all of you, each and every one of you, have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from your household, our household, to yours, it is truly our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed, and you live an abundant life right now in the name of Jesus. You are dismissed.
Amen.
Go with God. We love you,
yes.
and so does
yes.
the Lord. God bless you, everybody. Everybody
you
in the sanctuary, your mics are
God bless you all. Thank you,
Paul.
I love you all.
Love you
all.
Love you.
Beautiful week. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
So
have a beautiful week, everybody. That
love.
Was awesome,
I love
that.
So
glory
yeah.
to God, Jesus. Love
you
all. Bye.
Keep going. Bye-bye.
Love you, too. Have a great day. We love you.